having a serious problem of network. I've been trying on and off. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you again and our visitors, hoping that we'll be having a good meeting. I don't know who's here or who's not here. May we have apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. In the meeting today, the members that are here with us, Mr. Fadba, Tadu Songo, Utadu Knox, Utadu Mama Molo, Umamu Malumane, Utadu Sbisi, and yourself, Chairperson. And then we've got Ikem South Apache. We have an apology from the Minister and the DM Chair. They've both indicated that they've had have long-standing engagements for today. The apologies that we have.
Of our visitors who are present with us, and then the leader must take us through. Thank you. Saying, can the visitor take us through? You are welcome, and the leader of our visitors, can they introduce themselves and take us through?
Good morning, Sawubona Dubela. I'm Prisa Dabadin. I'm the deputy chairperson of the Pan-South African Languages Board, and on behalf of the board, I would like to extend our gratitude to you this morning for this opportunity to meet. in respect of our team that we have present with us today, I think I should record that we have our members, Dr. Dlabani, we have Ms. Ichaba, Ms. Poshia Chawane, Dr. Lolly Badenbost, we have Kensani Bilankulu, Dr. Lasana, Mr. Edward Dow, and I have covered the attendances. I do have apologies for our new board members that were appointed since the last time we actually met you, and that is Mr. Modibola and Mr. Obriam Temple. I know that they are attempting to join the meeting, and I expect that they will join at some stage during the course of the meeting. At this stage, I would also like to report that our chairperson, Dr. David Mashlamela, has resigned. And from our point of view, we are waiting official notification from relevant structures. We also are pleased this morning to advise that we have on the 1st of April 2020 appointed our CEO to PanSAL, Dr. Bongomensi Fogose. Dr. Fogose will be addressing you during the course of this discussion, but from our perspective, comes highly recommended and was one of our better candidates throughout our interview processes in that he comes from a strongly language sector background dating back to approximately 1985, and we believe that Dr. Pongose has potential to actually lead the organization on the path that we envisage himself to actually take. Dr. Pongose has been on at the offices from the 1st of April, but you would note that that was a time that we actually moved into the COVID pandemic lockdown. And so during the course of April, he actually reported to the offices. He has been actively involved in the institution. And very recently, he was away on sick leave. And the presentation that we have to be done by the CEO today will actually be assisted by Mr. William Nana, for a period of 2 months, has served as the acting CEO in the absence of Dr. Fogose. And Mr. Manana is present here this morning, so a warm welcome to everybody. And once again, thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. With that introduction, next history.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of the Board of Committee, members of the Council of Cape Language Board, colleagues from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, my colleague here. My name is Bob Mendy, because like I've been introduced by the Deputy Chairperson, I'm the CEO of PanSAL. At this stage, I would request my colleague, Mr. Manana, to assist us with the presentation, like the Deputy Chairperson has already done. So that's why
Thank you very much, good morning, honorable members of the portfolio committee. Good morning to board members. Thank you very much for this opportunity to come and present our APP as a request, as well as the structure. I'm trying to share the document. I'm trying to share my screen. Can I be informed if it is already finished?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have been requested to come and make a presentation on the Strat Plan 2020-2025. And then our presentation will cover the overview, which could have been delivered by the chairperson, would also focus on the CEO's overview, giving a perspective, the general perspective on the structure as well as the organization. Would also zoom into the revised APP as per by the cut. We would also look into the revised allocation by the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, pent-up allocation, anticipated budget cuts, unfunded projects, efficiencies implemented to fund the operations. You know, as the table indicates there, we would just get into those parts of the presentation. Would also indicate some of the imperatives which are outlined in the APP, as well as the Strat Plan of 2020 to 2025. Would zoom into the SWOT analysis if we have time, and then would zoom into the organizational environment, and then discuss also the issue of governance and other programs which would be of interest to the portfolio committee. You'd know or you'd note that the 2015-2020 Strat Plan yielded the current Strat Plan that we are going to engage on, that is the 2020-2025. This Strat Plan heralds the Pan South African Language Board's earnest and frank reflection on its intent in an attempt to solidly execute its language mandate and ultimately improves human life. We know that for the fact that a language is every citizen's enterprise, and a lack thereof would affect the whole entire nation. It does say to us, language as a means of communication, or is more than a means of communication, it is also a survival for apparatus. It is also a survival apparatus. So we need a language to survive in this time and era. This was demonstrated during the COVID-19 or during the lockdown season period, where we saw that language became a determinant between life and death. So it also shows the quality that demarcates, you know, what we could say the mediocre education or prosperity or in terms of poverty. So that's where we are able to distinguish between, you know, a language, when a person has acquired a language as a means of survival or not. But previously, we also noted that language has been used, you know, to create that rift between people. However, now has changed, you know, amongst, you know, the urban areas where it brought people together. But however, we still need to acknowledge that in the rural hinterland, it's still a main a problem where we would see those pockets of isolation in terms of language and the denigration thereof. But you know, we are compelled as the South African Language Board by the Constitution, as you know, it talks to the multilingualism. So it also reaffirms that no single language is capable of expressing all forms and degrees of human comprehension. Like in Setswana, they would say, noka etatwa kidi noka tediwe. In Zulu, they would say, umfula ukwalisa imfula emenye. Therefore, it means to us, no language is self-sufficient. Languages would coexist in order to empower each other. We acknowledge that we have this language disparity, which has been caused by, you know, the imperial social contract. However, we can legislate today. We have a legislative muzzle that came, you know, after Pope, after 1994, where we can say today we have, you know, the prescript that we can refer to in terms of language development, in terms of, you know, where we want to go to. We know by now we should have leveled the playing field. I'm saying 26 years after, you know, democracy, definitely we should be here. We should be there in order to advance the language development and other aspects of language. We know that language is driven by political space or politics, power, race, and so forth. This also can be actually viewed or be observed, you know, in those segregations that have been happening, especially in different schools where you can see that language has been used in order to prevent people from getting, you know, the right education. Those are some of the things that perhaps the Pan South African Language Board is looking at. The neoliberal linguistic dynamics of South Africa are not unique from any other former colony. However, we can say we are well equipped in order to advance this language emancipation. Some have rightfully or wrongfully used such deficit language emancipation to validate the claims that turns out has done everything, but not the promotion and development of languages. However, I'm convinced and then convicted that, you know, the board that we have currently is here to make sure that we serve, you know, the South Africans, we serve, you know, we deliver on our mandate in terms of, you know, the requirement of the Constitution. So they're here to save this crucial body, which is called PanSouth. You know, advancing some of the things that were not there before. You know that we had a period where we didn't have the board, but now we are glad to say the board is here. It was appointed on the 6th March 2019, and then it has been hard at work ever since, you know, trying to get the institution right. Obviously, we must acknowledge that there will be some impediments. There will be some challenges, but then the board definitely is hard at work to see that this ship is kept afloat. So it will be those five facts, but then they are almost there in terms of, you know, giving us the direction where we want to get. Myself, we have achieved a lot since our inception, and we are hoping to accelerate the demand in terms of the 4IR is the fourth industrial revolution. We will prioritize pragmatic projects of tangible outcomes, like advancing the tool of monitoring or advancing the monitoring tool as we continue to monitor the language development of the country. unlike other, you know, institutions supporting democracy, PenSAF is excitingly unique since it has the power of both a player and a referee. We know that we can become a watchdog. We can also contribute towards the development of languages in various aspects. That one has been seen previously when we were engaging on the translation of, you know, the COVID material and so forth. In the next 5 years, PenSAF will give closer attention to standardization and review of autonomous status of the so-called dialect instruments of indigenous languages or medium language medium or in education. So those are some of the things that perhaps in the next 5 years PenSAF will be zooming into, and then also to fast track the officialization of South African sign language. We know that at any moment it can be pronounced as a 12th official language, but then we are keen to see that process happening. And then definitely we cannot wait beyond this time. And then furthermore, what we want to do is to fast check the development of the Khoisan languages, particularly the group language. We know that in this area, only 4 speakers of this language are left. So it is incumbent on PenSAF that we fast check the recordings of these languages. The disaster management, which actually was with us, or the declaration which was done in 2020, did not suspend the constitution in terms of delivery. We know that we have to comply to the use of official languages act of 2012. Therefore, we ought to get our house in order and then make sure that we comply to legislative prescriptions. These are some of the things that perhaps we need to look into as PenSAF in the next coming 5 years. But currently we are hard at work engaging into the use of official languages and also monitoring the State Department or the organs of state in terms of compliance and other relevant pieces of legislations which they need to comply to or comply with. Currently, PenSAF is repositioning itself into a leading language custodian, not only in the SADC region, but rather in the African continent and beyond. One thing that perhaps we want to extend our gratitude to is the PenSAF staff, the structures, the executive authority, and various oversight structures, which definitely keep us, you know, alive in terms of, you know, checking whether are we doing good in terms of our mandate. One thing that we need to perhaps check in terms of, you know, our deliverables, in terms of the strat plan, we know that our strategic plan is target-orientated and it articulates the priorities of the institution in dispatching its constitutional mandate. In the next 5 years, what we'll do, or in terms of the vision that the CEO will be driving towards, you know, the organization, or in terms of the organization deliverables, we want to accelerate the monitoring of the use of official languages. If we can get it right, we know that we shall have compliance in terms of, you know, the social cohesion outcome 14. We also need to establish the epicenter where we would actually see the languages as well as the means being housed in a particular university where these languages will get a very extreme attention in terms of development, in terms of, you know, advancing them, you know, to a level of other official languages that we have in South Africa. But over and above, what we want to see happening in the next 5 years, it is to adapt the what we call the NAMA spelling orthography and rules. But that one can be done together or in collaboration with the University of Namibia where Namibia has also showed a keen interest in collaborating with Zimbabwe in order for us to adapt these stability and orthography rules. We need this to be actually executed as speedily as possible, because Nama is offered as a language in the Northern Cape currently. Furthermore, like I said, the officialization of South African Sign Language will be key to us, would be something that we would actually want to see happening very urgently. But over and above, TESAF has recently launched its charter, the South African Sign Language Charter, which actually encompasses all the do's and the don'ts of we need to observe as South Africans in terms of, you know, the sign language issues or sign language program. Furthermore, what we have done, we have actually made an assessment in terms of our core business program. This assessment revealed that 95% of the targets that we anticipated to achieve in the 2020-2021 may be probably or adversely are affected by the COVID-19. However, we have come up with some mitigating factors which would actually alleviate the cost. What we have done, we have reconfigured the whole APP and the APP in terms of our delivery. You'd know that mandate is merely based on contact. We need to conduct those workshops regarding language demand. We need to conduct, you know, the physical, what is called monitoring, where we get into an institution and check whether the language policies are in place. So we were affected by this COVID-19 so much. So in terms of our delivery. So then we had to refigure and come up with a new strategy. How are we going to circumvent the whole process? What we then did, we had to call our meetings virtually. We had to rely on round-robin sharing of documents. We had to explore the avenues of using our social media platforms. We had to explore, you know, the use of community radio stations. However, I must mention that this exercise is quite heavy in terms of, you know, service, in terms of, you know, what they are asking in terms of when we require such a service. Radio, community radio stations are no longer cheaper as compared to before. Maybe it is because of the demand, maybe, probably. In another thing that we wanted to do, it was to deliver on articles, publishing them online through our electronic media and print media, but to see that we kept the message of language development across. And we had to resource what for our members, board members, members of the structure, provide them with data and tools of trade for them to deliver remotely in the comfort of their home, so that they can, we don't actually hinder, you know, the progress of language development. Furthermore, we acknowledge that COVID has really had an impact on our delivery. However, we have sustained, you know, the multilingual services in terms of translation, like I said, in terms of South African Sign Language interpreting. You see, and you recall that now on the ACDC, you see throughout the sign language interpreting, it is through that influence that we created as South African Language Board. In terms of various structures that we have our dictionary units, which is hard at work, making an attempt to produce dictionaries which are relevant to this period and time. Over and above, we have commissioned what is called a research in the Western Cape, where a research was conducted in terms of the impact of introduction of African languages, you know, the incremental introduction of African languages. That research outcome will be tabled before the board. It's almost concluded. What we need is to get that platform to deliver the content. Over and above, like I said, there's a point, NAMA and SAN will be given a priority in the next 5 years. We have our provincial language committees, which are continuing to advise the relevant MECs in different provinces in terms of language policies, language legislation, and also trying to improve, you know, the linguistic human rights, you know, observance. As part of our continued discourse in multilingualism, can help us continue to commemorate significant days, such as Mother Tongue, Africa Day. This year, Africa Day was intended by COVID, but then we collaborated with the Department of Western Culture and hosted that virtually, you know, throughout our province. Heritage Month, we were actually visible in terms of Heritage Month. We had the recordings of Omar Katrina, the new language speaker, the only new language speaker in the Northern Cape. So we had that covered during the Heritage Month. It's something that I said, perhaps let me just talk to that. Over and above, we are glad to say, you know, the PENSAP structures comprised of various members with a lot of expertise. We are with the expertise that we have. We are sure that it is capable of delivering, you know, any aspect of language demands in terms of, you know, our constitutional mandate. Those are some of the things that I needed to highlight in terms of, you know, our position where we are in terms of that. But let me just indicate that we need actually pass our sincere gratitude to the leadership and support of the Honorable Minister Nakim Tetra, the Deputy Minister Nokawe Mafu, the Speaker of the National Assembly, Metandi Mutise, Musa Kota, Mutata Musa Kota, and Tate Senu. Without his support, definitely we would not be here we are today, where we are today. We thank you so much. We would always and would forever be indebted to you. Thank you so much. But let me over perhaps elaborate on this. PENSAP deliver its mandate through two programs. That's the program, the first program, that will be administration and institutional support. And then the second program that will talk to a language division. But then let me indicate that most of the targets in the program one, that is at administration, will be achieved because they are not actually a contact-based. They are mainly, you know, focusing on policies, you know, creating those controls, internal controls, you know, creating the system that would work and deliver, make and enhance PENSAP to deliver on its mandate. Those are some of the things. So therefore, the targets of administration will not be impacted like the one of program two of language division. So over and above what we have done, we have explored, you know, the avenues of technology just to digitize some of the things. Like I said, our meetings currently are taking place virtually. Our workshop, we have conducted a workshop through virtually. We had in August the Women in Writing workshop, which was conducted through virtually with the assistance, of course, of the media houses where they created, you know, the platform for us to deliberate on issues of languages. These are some of the things. But let me indicate quickly and say most of the targets will be delayed, not necessarily that will not be achieved, will be delayed in terms of achievement due to all the things that I've indicated above. But then currently we have embarked on a catch-up program where we have doubled, you know, our efforts to deliver on our programs. These are some of the things that I wanted us to indicate that I've indicated the issue of tools of trade, which are actually the enhancements for our trade currently. We need to have those tools of trade in the right state of mind so that they can function optimally. These are some of the things. But let me indicate again something that we observed is that we have confined ourselves within the legislative submissions which were indicated that on this such a day we need to submit the financial statement. We have done that, though we had some delay from the from the AG side, but then we managed to conclude all the processes in time, submitted all the required documents in time. That one I must just commend the staff of the staff for putting their work ahead before everything, and then try to make the means to deliver in time. And then we have continued to observe that we shall pay all our service providers within the 30-day period, which is stipulated by the treasury or treasury regulation. These are some of the things that perhaps we wanted to indicate. But let me just indicate that we know the impact of COVID-19. Nobody anticipated COVID-19. We did not actually anticipate. When we drafted our APP, we drafted the APP based on the current situation by then, not knowing that there will be COVID-19. Therefore, what we want to say is that we know that South Africa has, South Africa's debt has increased. Every 21 cent in every rent in tax goes into the previous debt that the country has. Therefore, it means that the budget had to be adjusted in one way or the other. We know that South African government revised its budget deficit, its forecast, to 14.6% of the GDP in 2020-2021 fiscal year from an earlier estimate of 6.8% in February to 6.3% in 2021. These are all the factors that actually would indicate or impact on our deliverables. But we are saying with less that we have, we can make an impact. That would be the largest budget shortfall since apartheid, since the end of apartheid, brought by this COVID, as well as the lockdown measures, which hit the country's fragile economy. We know that our economy was still fragile, and we are coming from the ratings of the Moody's and so forth. So these are some of the things that I wanted just to highlight. They are there in the slide. We can dwell into those things if maybe we are required to indicate. Those are some of the figures that I wanted to indicate there. But then the most interesting point that I wanted to indicate is that in the past 3 years, the budget of the Department of Arts, Sports and Culture was also impacted or was also reduced. But then we know that we are getting our money via the Department of Arts and Culture, but that did not actually impact on us as such. So we can know, or we can note that the institutions which actually are getting its money from the Department of Arts and Culture were still, actually apportioned accordingly in terms of, their budget. So those are some of the things that I wanted to indicate quickly. This is the budget allocation from 2018-2019. You can see that they are at 43 billion, and then in 2019, we have that a little bit cut off of couple millions there, and then 2018-2019, you also see the figures there up until 2020. That is the projected one in terms of the cut. We are hoping that it will not impact us so much. Like in the past 3 years, PENSALP has not received any budget cut, like I said, despite economic conditions of the country that we are facing that the country is facing. So our budget has been at 125 million. And then the only thing that happened recently is that we were reduced by 10% which actually impacted on us in terms of that. You can see from 125 million and then it went to 112 million 504. So those are the figures that we have there in terms of the budget transaction. And then if you look at the project and the allocation there, under administration, you can see there 44% goes to administration. That your administration will cover your ICT, will cover your communication, supply chain, you know, all those things. Those are the programs that fall under administration. And then we have program two, where we have now a development and use and equitability, where it takes 56% of that budget allocation. That is 112 from 125 million with that 10% cut. So those are some of the things that I said, let me indicate quickly. Therefore, with such a budget cut, then we had to reconfigure and reprioritize our, what you call, our normal operations. So we had to look for, you know, a means of delivering effectively with less, with the less amount that we had. Like we are saying, the mandate of PENSALS, as it is reflected in the 2020 medium-term expenditure framework, it will indicate the creation of conditions. That is the main mandate that we need to deliver on. That is extrapolated from the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. And then secondly, we need to make sure that we ensure equitable use of all South African official languages, including the Khoisan and the South African sign language. Like I said, we also need to deliver on linguistic human rights, which is the most important program that we need to carry in terms of, you know, language violations and so forth. These are some of the things that we needed perhaps to indicate. But then we are hard at work in order to comply with legislation and regulations. That budget cut of 10.3 is impacted on us, like I said, we shall indicate. This is our budget, and then we are anticipating that if this the cut is going to continue, this is the trend or the pattern that perhaps will follow. Currently, we are here in 2021, as reflected here on your screen, and then we would anticipate that perhaps we'll get 182 by 2021 to 2022. By 2022, but with less than 10%, this is what we are projecting going to 2022, 2023. But then we shall actually see how best we can work together in delivering this mandate. Like I said, the resources available could cater for some, not for everything. As we are saying, part of the mandate, like dictionary production, promotion of language, language promotion, language awareness, and linguistics, are funded. This one, we need to see that we still have, you know, a funding that goes towards this project, because there is no way that we can continue as PENSALS without the dictionary production, without a language promotion and other means of language as an entity which actually prides itself with the delivery of the Constitution. That is in terms of language delivery and requirements. Like I said, several other projects which would be impacted, like I said, in the epicenter, which is not actually funded from that, we need to devise to come up with mechanisms how best we can facilitate the funding, or how can we generate the funding of this epicenter. We need to establish this epicenter. The talks have been advanced with the University of Solplaking in the Northern Cape. They are showing you know, interest in housing that epicenter there. What we need to do is to just to channel the resources towards that center. And like I said, the new language audiovisual dictionary, our structure, the NLB, all the NLBs 100 words involved in the audio-visual dictionary, where we are recording, you know, the new language. And we are still in that process with our aim, or the main objective of that project is that we need to get, you know, this recording so that we preserve such a language. We know that if there are 4 remaining speakers of that language, we definitely, it poses a threat to us. It also endangers the language itself, not only to the speakers, but also to the society as a whole. We are anticipating to have this in-house publishing or a publishing house. We also need to generate some funds, or we need to approach agencies where we can form partnerships so that we fund this mode. We know a publishing house established by Pensat would also advance, you know, those authors who are marginalized in terms of publishing, you know, their material. So this is our ambition. This is the ambition of the board, that they want to see this publishing house operating very soon. And then it is also our dream as Pensat that if we have this publishing house, we'll be able to take our dictionaries, be published in the house in Finland. So these are some of the things. The screening and evaluation of literary materials, it is also one of the things that is one of the projects that is not funded, but then we want to come up with mechanism how best we can work on this. Recently we met with the Department of Basic Education through the leadership of the DG Mweni. We spoke about the screening and evaluation of this literary material. But in how do we advance that going forward? We need to come up with mechanisms how best we can fund this, how best we can work together with a private partnership or with collaborate with other entities where we share a common interest in terms of advancing that one. Is another thing that the board is looking at. And then I know that the CEO is also looking at this with keen interest. Efficiencies implemented to fund core operations. In order for us to fund the core the core operations or the core mandate, one thing or you know things that we did as an organization one was to suspend the recruitment. And in some other portfolios, and redistribute the performance of that task. You know, we share the responsibility of that particular task so that we don't actually feel the pressure and the gaps of that particular position. And then that's what we did as a measure. Secondly, we have reduced our outsourcing mode. And then and try to come up with internal measures so that we can deliver also, you know, effectively. And then we have reconfigured and reprioritized our programs. Like I said, we deliver virtually now instead of, you know, spending on travel, accommodation, catering, and all those things. That's what we tried to come up with as the organization. These are some of the things that we delivered on our program. But one thing that I wanted to indicate is that we know that the economy is shrinking, and then we must acknowledge, and then we need to come up with mechanism of, you know, sustaining this organization in terms of, you know, going forward. We know that the pandemic has disrupted so many things. And then it also impacted our delivery mode and other measures. But then we are continuing as Pensat to monitor, you know, as mandated, to monitor the delivery of language imperatives. And then we have continued, you know, to try to engage, you know, where possible. But then remember, we have been on lockdown for almost 6 months now, I'm not sure. And then that lockdown also impacted on us in terms of, you know, our delivery. Like, for instance, where you find, you know, you you don't find, you know, what you call officials in the office in terms of when you want to administer a particular tool of language monitoring tool or language, you know, requirements in terms of our delivery. So these are some of the things that have impacted on us. And then also our stakeholders, which were on hard lockdown, eventually, you know, it moved to a different level. However, now we can interact, but then on a particular limited number. We are still trying to adjust to that. So those are some of the things that actually impacted us in terms of. So, like I indicated, that we tried to save on travel accommodation. And then the dictionaries, we are trying to print online if possible, but some of the African languages do not have the infrastructure to print online. It's something that we are looking at as an organization to see how best we can come up with, you know, the mechanism of printing online. The tools of trade, you know, immediately when we talk about delivering remotely, we definitely need tools of trade. They are also impacting on our budget, where we need to provide, you know, each and every official or each and every member of structure with the means of getting connected. So basically, I'll get to the overview of the structure or the strategic plan overview in the period 2020-2025. What is it that we need to do? This is our mission. This is our vision. I don't really need to go deeper on it, but then we know that what we aspire, what we need, what we intend doing is that we need to become, you know, the custodian of this multilingualism and make sure that there is that social cohesion. In terms of the National Development Plan, we know that we need to impact on that. So these are some of the things that we need to deliver on that. Our values, professionalism, integrity, accountability, and transparency. This is what we strive to do. This is what we are doing currently in terms of our strategy. Our constitutional mandate, it is reflected in the Constitution of Republic of South Africa, Section 6.5 A and B, where we indicate where we draw our main, what we call our mandate there. You know, our mandate is to create the conditions for development and then, you know, to afford those languages, you know, equal opportunity. These are some of the things that we wanted maybe to advance so that we know. Other than that, we also draw our mandate from the Pencil Act and the Use of Official Languages Act. So we need to respond to the priority number 5 of the NDP on social cohesion and safe community. So this is our structure would actually normally help us to deliver on all the programs that Pencil is anticipating or the programs that actually will be reflected below. We have the NLU, which are National Lexicographic Units. There are 11 in numbers. They are based in different institutions of higher learning or in universities. And then we have the NLBs. They are 13 in numbers. And then they are representing each and every language of South Africa, official languages of South Africa, including the Khoi and the South African Sign Language. And then we have the PLC, which are provincially based. They will be 9 in this instance. These are some of the structures that we have. Like I said, the National Lexicographic Unit, they operate as companies limited by guarantee under Section 21 of Companies Act. But then these are our entities, or these are our structures. The NLB, like I said, the national bodies, they look into those languages of, you know, like the indigenous languages, Setswana, you are IsiXhosa, and so forth. These are affecting NMPs. Provincial PLCs, they are provincially based. So in the administration program would cover the financial management, the supply chain, the ICT, the marketing and communication, and institutional performance and governance. Those are some of the programs that actually falls under administration and institutional support. So like I said, it is easy in this category or in this program for them to achieve most of their targets, because it is all about development of, you know, policies, getting the internal control, the system in place, and all those things like I've mentioned. And then program two will indicate or will just talk to your business development, or it will talk to the core mandate. We'll be talking about the language development and use, equitability of language use, and linguistic human rights. Those are the three sub-programs that we would neighbor under. So our impact statement, or what we call the strategic objective, but now we talk with, we are no longer talking about the strategic objective, but we talk about the impact statement. We have four impact statements. One talks to the conducive environment for the development and use of South African official languages, that is Khoi, San, and Nama languages, including the South African Sign Language. And then two, the impact statement will talk to the equitable use of South African official languages, that will include Khoi, Nama, and San, as well as South African Sign Language. And then the third impact statement will talk to the linguistic rights compliance society, that we need to comply to linguistic legislative prescripts. Those are some of the things. And then the fourth impact statement will talk to administration, that we want to deliver effective and efficient administration of support, support provided to deliver the core business. This efficient and efficient administration, you know that it will obviously enhance the delivery of the core mandate. We know that. Those are the four impact statements that we have. Further than that, it's also indicated in terms of what is it that they want to achieve in social, in supply chain management, what is it that ICT wants to achieve, human resource, and then marketing, and also ICT, or the institutional governance. The strategic outcome continues, that is language development, equitable, I've indicated that one. So in our strategy, we also talk about the strengths that we have, also the weaknesses. We are not shy to indicate our strengths, we are not shy to indicate our weaknesses, but then we want to improve on the weaknesses so that we get the organization, you know, on the right path. We know that one thing that we need to get, it is just to get, you know, to comply with all the legislation in terms of our delivery. But one thing that I want to indicate quickly, that at the point of departure from this slide, is that we are talking about the appointment of the board. Like I said, with the appointment of the board, we would actually realize the stability of the institution. And when the institution is stable, we'll be able to deliver and concentrate on the core business, like I said. Those are some of the things that I said, let me just flip on them. And then these are our weaknesses. We can engage them if maybe members of the committee feels that we need to engage on them, we can engage on them. And then we do have opportunities that perhaps we wanted to indicate, that we have this strong relationship with the Institution of Higher Learning. Like I said, our LLUs are based in those Institution of Higher Learning, and then we need to wanted to indicate that one as one of our opportunities that we have. And then, you know, the relationship that we have with organs of state, collaborations, and other, you know, relationships that we have beyond South Africa. So these are some of the things that perhaps we needed to indicate. However, maybe let me indicate the threat, you know, which is in this instance, it's an English language, which is given the highest prominence, even if when the conditions are not favorable for English to be, you know, the predominant language. But and this is what we actually find ourselves doing, you know, in terms of also. And another thing that I needed to indicate is that in the social media space, when we try to indicate or to standardize the language, you'll find that in the middle space, it also, you know, pulls down in terms of, you know, writing thereof, in the orthography, the spelling thereof. So these are some of the, you know, the threats that we are having. We find ourselves having to compete with some of those indicators. The ACP of the strike plan is as follows. This is administration. I would not indicate everything, but it's reflected as such in the strike plan 2020-2025. We have the outcome, finance processes and procedures improved to support PENSAF mandate. We know how are they going to how are we going to achieve that one. It is through in developing and coming up with number of policies that would actually see us having those processes and procedures in line. These are some of the things that perhaps I wanted to indicate. We the board or the CEO, our wish is that we need to get into a clean audit. It is our wish that we get a clean audit. And then how do we get there? We will get into a clean audit when our finances, processes, and procedures are well coordinated in terms of policies and procedures. So these are some of the things that I wanted to indicate, in terms of that. Also to implement, you know, an action plan which will be approved by the board. These are some of the things. Others will see that we would have a baseline. Others are totally, we don't have a baseline on that. So, but then we indicate in 2025, this is what we shall actually achieve in terms of. These are some of finance processes. These are indicated there. A number of approved quarterly reports, quarterly financial reports submitted. We need to submit this to National Treasury together to the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. So we do have those things that are standard, that are mandatory, that we need to submit the following. We need to improve on our AFS, and then we need to submit them in terms of data. Those are some of the things that perhaps will be reflected in the strat plan under administration. The SCM, we know that the SCM is a major component of the organization. If we don't get our things right, then we'll be impacted in terms of, you know, whatever. Hence, we need to make sure that the policies are in place and we have everything. The indicators are very clear there that we need to develop policies or we need to review some of the policies so that they can be approved by the board. When the policies are approved by the board, then we will be able to deliver appropriate things that are STM related in terms of. We need to improve on the contact register. As we contact service providers, we need to update it in accordingly, you know, in terms of the requirement by the treasury and also the AD. These are some of the things that perhaps we need to engage on. I'm not going to dwell too much into that one. The ICT, we have this ICT master plan that has been developed, and then we are actually, it is in line with the CITA Act and the DPSA, so it still needs to be approved by the board. We are working on that. These are some of the things that perhaps I need to flag. We know that we are operating through the internet this nowadays. Therefore, we need to beef up what we call our cybersecurity, and we need to develop our policies in terms of that, and then that policy be approved by the board. These are some of the things that perhaps we want to move towards. In terms of HR, we need to also finalize the policy. Let me just quickly indicate, these policies that I'm talking about, they are almost completed. They have to be be checked by the office of the CEO as well as the board so that they can put their signature on the dotted line there. So those are some of the things that perhaps we can just give us ourselves a credit on that. Those policies have been developed in terms of some of the things. Those are the indicators that perhaps we wanted to flag and then sure that we it's where we are, where we want to be in 2025. Marketing and communications, those are some of the indicators. Some are new, some are existing indicators in terms of our strat plan 2020-2025. These are some of the things that perhaps if maybe members of the portfolio committee want us to engage further and then maybe together clarity on this indicators and also the deliverables we are in to share some light in terms of in terms of. And then the IPG, I've already indicated, IPG also would put the policies in place. They are already there. They need just to be approved by the CEO or recommended by the CEO for the approval of the board. So these are some of the things that we wanted to move as speedy as we can in terms of delivering that under administration. But let me indicate under language development as I'm approaching the close of this presentation. We have the dictionary unit, the baseline currently. We know that we have a lot of dictionaries that we have produced previously. But what we did then, we put a baseline as 11 because of 11 was the recent dictionary that we produced last year in terms of our deliverables. So then we are saying in 2025, we shall have produced at least 24 dictionaries of different languages. And, you know, that will be determined by UNICEF. Type of dictionaries will be determined by different, you know, NLUs as we indicated. And then publishing the new audiovisual dictionary, it is our main objective that this year by the end of 2025, we must be having this audiovisual dictionary. Perhaps we can work on the improvement of it. This indicator is sitting currently in the APP, the one that we are executing now. And I was saying, the different NLBs are hard at work for developing this what we call the new audiovisual dictionary or verifying audiovisual dictionary. The board of directors will actually meet as a requirement They need to sit and come up with a strategy. How are they governing their own, you know, what we call structure? That is, we call the NLU. So that is the requirement. It is required for them to sit and meet. So by 2025, what we are saying, they shall have actually had 220 meetings. Therefore, it says in a quarterly they will have one meeting. And then, or biannual, let me say it's biannual, they'll have, you know, two meetings in a year. Let me indicate that we are saying two meetings in an annual because we had to reconsider our budget. Those are some of the things that I wanted to indicate quickly so that we are well aware. And the terminology list authentication, we are busy authenticating different terminology lists from different entities. Currently, we were busy with the South African Webster Status Terminology List and other different forms of terminology list which can find itself engaging work. So these are some of the things we are saying at 100% because this one we rely on other people to bring those terminology lists to us. So through the Department of Arts and Culture, we know that we have been working together on that element. So these are some of the things. So workshop for spelling and orthography rules. PENSAF has revised spelling and orthography rules for 9 indigenous languages. That will be your Setswana, your Sesotho, Sepedi, and so forth. So what we are saying now that the spelling and orthography rules have been revised, we need to take it out to the public so that they can know what is it that they need to follow in terms of the writing of Setswana or isiXhosa and so forth. So we are intending that those workshops will be handled as such. Currently, the baseline is 4, but we are hoping that by 2025, this workshop shall have increased so much in terms of our level. The status of the status report on spelling and orthography rules for NAMA, that report will be developed in terms of, you know, our target. And then I think we are on course for that. It will be delivered. Now with development and consultative workshops for orthography rules for NAMA, it's a new indicator, like we are saying. We don't have the spelling and orthography rules currently. But then what we are doing is that we are working with the University of Namibia to deliver on this. So we are sure we have indicated that we need, what we need to do, because Namibia already has this orthography, the spelling and orthography. What we need to do is to adapt it into our own so that we can have something that we can work on. So we have given ourselves a target to say by 2025, we shall have had this two consultative workshop, but then it will depend how fast we can work. We can have more than that, but then our target is H2 by 2025. But then we are busy at developing that, we are starting it from scratch. It is not like any other language that is existing. These are some of the things that I wanted to indicate. The epicenter, like I've mentioned, it is in our APP, it is in our strat plan. We need to come up with the epicenter. It's one way of, you know, that will help us to preserve these languages. It's one of those things. So the meeting as per requirement of the prescript, we need to have those meetings for NLDs, for PLC, and so forth. And, you know, those are some of the things. The workshop for sign language, we are currently engaging the workshops throughout the country. Others might have seen that on, you know, our webinars and, you know, also on our social platforms, so that we are busy engaging on that. But then our target was that we need to start at least with maybe say 3 or 4, but then we have a baseline that we can work on, that is one. But then by 2025, we shall have actually more than that. But then our target is 20, so that we know how to keep up with our, you know, our own committee. Language awareness campaign is 4, and then we are intending to have 20 by 2025. These are some of the things that perhaps I wanted to indicate. I am not sure whether must I indicate each and everyone that is here, but then this is all that we have in the, what you call the ATP and the strat plan in terms of, you know, the development of languages. And then let me indicate that we have this indicator, which is currently programmatic, but then we are attending to it, where now we are actually required to indicate what we call the number of the departments where we monitor, you know, the implementation of the use of official languages. So this, for us, is something that we need to achieve, because it is not only sitting with us, it is only sitting with the social cohesion, you know, outcome 14, where we need to indicate this, you know, this achievement. So it's one of those things that perhaps we need to flag it out and say we are hard at work. We have developed a monitor. We have developed a monitoring tool to monitor this policy requirements or policy compliance by the department and through, you know, their relevant units. So other than that, the research, we have commissioned the research, like I said. It was conducted on behalf of PENSAR by the Umutente research company, and then it is about to be concluded. The outcome will be actually publicized in all our websites, in all our social platforms, so that people can know and also have a privilege to go through that research and its whole number of indigenous languages literature workshop. Already we had one, but then we are saying the baseline is 5. By 2025, we shall have conducted 25 literature workshop. But the intention of this literature, it is not only just to give stakeholders information, but it is also to encourage to put into paper what their ideas in terms of, you know, writing skills, in terms of coming up with, you know, this innovative sort of writing. So these are some of our intentions in order for us to deliver on that. The number of engagements and promoting maritime education, we want to see this happening urgently. So currently, and the Department of Basic Education has made a commitment that they are on board in terms of, you know, advancing mother language education. So we know our commitments to this. We know their commitments towards this. It is for us to work together with them in order to deliver on this. But over and above, what we are saying, this is a new indicator to us. We want to push it and make sure that it is realized. We know in the Eastern Cape that the matric was writing their paper in Sikosa for the first time in the history of South Africa. This act must be commended, and we want all the provinces to follow suit and come up with such an agreement, which the Department of Education, of Basic Education, has endorsed and said, look, we are not going to stand before you in terms of this. Come up with mechanisms so that we can work together on this. Linguistic Human Rights Foundation, which is the last one in terms of our program, and then what we need to do, it is to speed it, resolve, you know, the linguistic matter, which actually we find ourselves, you know, engaging with in most of the time, where we find language violations, either by various entities or various departments, or, you know, we need to engage on this. We need to come up with, you know, the amicable solution. Remember, the main importance of this indicator is just to bring that mediation element between the two parties so that we find, you know, each other. So these are some of the things that I think taken. The annual performance plan, it is almost the same as the strat plan, because we know we draw the APP from the strat plan. But in here, what is happening is that it is further indicated in terms of the year 2020, 2022, 2023, 2024. What is it that we want to achieve? In terms of policies, we shall, in 2024, these are the policies that we need to develop, therefore, in 2021, 2022, now, we make sure that we will talk to people about these policies, they know what is it that in here. So these are some of the things that we want to see. A clean audit, it is desired by every entity, every institution wants to find itself, you know, having, you know, good records when coming to the AG or the auditor general. So it is our wish also as an organization that we find ourselves in that thing. These are some of the things that we want to see. But what I'm saying, here we find ourselves taking the APP a little bit down so that we know our targets or we know how we want to track the APP in terms of. So these are some of the things that we want to estimate, what estimated performance, a target for 2021, 2022, 2024, and so forth. These are some of the things. But let me quickly just go to some of the things that will be of interest to the members of the portfolio committee. It's all the things that perhaps we have indicated above there. So these are almost some of the things that perhaps I've indicated in the strategic plan for 2020-2025. But in what we are doing, we are showing you year one, year two, year three, in terms of our APP, because our APP requires us to focus on that one. We ought to deliver in line with the APP. But we know that we are growing the bigger plan from the strategy, which would run for 5 years, unless if maybe it is revised in one way or the other. But currently, we are still sticking to the same strat plan that was actually submitted to the parliament. So that is the strat plan that I'm talking about. So basically, it's all, you know, the indicators that we have indicated, but here we are showing you how actually we intend doing this. Let's for instance, let me take the epicenter. In year one, what we are seeing, we are going to have this workshop regarding the epicenter. And year two, we have, you know, this consultative workshop. You know, how, you know, when you establish a center, what you need to do, you need to take, you know, the stakeholders on board. Everybody needs to know what it is that we are doing. So we cannot just come and establish that decision. We need to engage it into this consultative workshop. We know that we have, you know, suggestions. We go back and refine and say, this is what, and, you know, those consultations are very imperative so that they can take ownership of the decision. So it's very important that I emphasize this one. So in terms of meetings, we know it's a requirement that we have such meetings. Language awareness, this is how we want to do that in terms of that. I think that covers everything. Let me just get quickly here. Under governance, like indicated, the deputy chairperson has indicated that we have the board in place. These are the members of the board currently. What we need to do is just to maybe to update in terms of that, in terms of the budgeting and all those matters. It's something that I wanted to indicate that we have board members in place and then the government is well taken care of in terms of that. And then over and above, the board, has different subcommittees where they look at, you know, different aspects of this. We have the board that looks and the subcommittee that looks into human resource matters, which is chaired by Dr. Hassana. And then we have the finance committee, which is chaired by Mandy Chabe. Then we have the CMC committee, which is chaired by Dr. Davani. And we have the audit and risk committee. Would you mind that one? I know it's under the section of international affairs, but then I'm trying to get a board member who's responsible for audit and risk. I know that we have Mayor Shilwani. We do have, I think, Dr. Davani also there in that subcommittee. And then let me check. We have what we call the ethics and legal, I think, which is chaired by the DC and Mayor Chilwani, if I'm not mistaken. Those are some of the things. And then over and above that, the board structure, we have our own internal audit committee or our own internal, you know, what you call firm that actually deals with the internal auditing of the organization. Before we go to AG, at least we shall have gone through the process of being audited by this auditors, which are called Rapoma and Associates. These are our internal auditors of the organization. So yeah, that's in terms of the what we call them, the governance. The staff composition, we know we have our CEO, Dr. Mpongo Sam. Those are the, you know, the staff complement. Yeah, I'm not going to go, you know, in details into that one. These are some of the staff complements that we have. The total number is 66. And then others are based in provinces, others are here in head office. Basically, these are some of the things. These are figures submitted. I don't think they would make such an impact to this presentation. But then they also show how, you know, we have apportioned, you know, our strategic outcome. I think basically this is what my story is. And then I just want to thank members of the portfolio committee, the board of PENSALP, the CEO, just for giving me this opportunity to come and make this presentation. I hope it made sense to everyone. Where there are questions, we'll be willing to take questions and further engagement. But thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues, members of the board, maybe I need to apologise first with regards to the staff members. We need to update, or we
7th weekend event that we have the same with the members of the board. At this juncture, I would like to go back to the chairperson, honorable chairperson of the portfolio committee. This is the presentation that we had at the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
thank you
so much, presentation, which is well presented. I'm suspecting the members were taking notes.
So I don't know about what I mean.
Honorable members, I'm presenting presentation. Let me just try to tease you. Where is the Pondo language? When are you going to do a research from Pondo Land? I want that you must put that, go to my province, and I want that you must put something there, M. Trumpy. If you don't him up, thank you so much. Honorable members, that's yours. Any intake? No, and Jabu, so assist me. It got to open for what book?
Chairperson,
Mamu Fante
has a hand up,
Chairperson. Mamu Fante, take the platform.
I have quite a few questions. Thank you for the presentation. On the presentation, our slide on page 3 mentioned about the reduction of costs. And it also says that it will be higher costs of trade. Can we get the full details of that? I also want to know whether if you can inform the committee if the board members actually also received laptops and if this process was does it comply with the PFMA? And if you did, who approved it and what was the total spending? I also want to ask with regards to page 84. The presenter said that the staff component doesn't really have an impact on the but I think it's misleading because, to my knowledge, Ms. Malena is not the acting CFO anymore. The term ended on the 5th of December, and that was focused on the 8th of October to the staff. And also, the senior manager of human resources management, the contract ended on the 16th. Of October, and I want you to please, if you can please explain that to me. Then with no CFO there, I want to ask you whether it is indeed true that the board changed the banking details of the South African Language Board, and if why, and who was in charge of the change, if it was the case, and who has now signing rights on this account, if it's indeed the case. I also want to ask whether with regards to the Rakoma forensic investigation, when was this, who requested this forensic investigation? When was it registered or required? And when was it finished? And when will it be made available to the committee? I've written questions from my sources. It seems that it has been already been finished. But on a written question reply, it was said to me that it, on the 6th of the, 3rd of the 6th, it was said to me that it was not completed. Can you give us clarity on that? And I also want to know whether there was an order number for this forensic report, if the processes was followed with this. I actually want to request, if it's possible, that the committee can have a copy of all the claims that were submitted by the new board since they started. I also want to speak
spoke a lot of budget cuts. In line with that, I want the board to just explain to us, on November the 2019, you had an excursion to Sanula Golf Estate and Spa of overseas of 700,000+ with a staff. Can you just tell us how you justify this and how it is in support with the core business of the PAN, with PAN South Africa Language Board? I also need to ask you, do you have a board secretary? Is it part of the organigram? And is this position, has it been filled recently or has it been advertised? Can you give us clarity on that also? There's another question or two. I also want to let us just inform the committee, the process according to the PFMA regulations, has it been followed with the lease of the PAN South African Language Board head office? If you, was there a tender put out, and can you give us more information on how many applicants there were and what the lease amount is now? If that was not followed, can you give us the reasons or tell us why that is the case? Let me just see if there's anything. Yes, we received a letter, a whistleblower letter, and it was responded by the board. There's something that tickles me in that reply. On point 12, the chairperson or acting chairperson suggested that the chairperson that was acting as CEO was not unemployed. Is it possible that the board can give us finish us with where he was appointed while he was acting, and also explain to us how it was possible that he could act for 6 months as CEO while being in another job. I cannot really understand that. I still think that it was unethical to appoint him because it's not ethical for him, was not to interfere with administration. But if you can just give us clarity on these matters, I will appreciate.
Mr. Van Dijk, you have forgotten your rule three minutes. Did you still
thank you, Chief, but the presentation was also very long.
No, I know, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to come back. I was leaning. It took more than 3 minutes. You'll come back if you still have another question. Honorable Song.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks for the presentation. Can you hear me, Chair? Apologies.
Yes, yes. I do hear you, Honorable Mshongo.
Thank you.
I hear you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Mshongo. Yes.
What is the status quo regarding the poor governance? I see you don't have a roadmap that is clear exactly. You spoke about to comply. It is not about compliance only, it's about stability. What is your timeline? When are you going to stabilize the language board? And I wanted to find out regarding governance. You quiet. What is happening with the forensic report, the outcome and the action plan, or do you all the recommendations implemented, so to say? And Chair, I wanted to find out, you know, can they confirm to us that in the next financial year, are we going to get a clean audit, or are they still going to be reflected as it was even before? For now, Chair, because of 2 minutes, I'll only ask those questions. Thanks.
It's 3 minutes, Honorable Longo. Okay.
I can. Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Any other hand? Chabu? Chabu, any other hand?
Madam Chair.
Okay. Can we have responses? Mr. Manana and the rest.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will respond to those who I'm able to respond. With others, I will request the Honorable, the Chair of the Board and other members and my colleague, Mr. Manana, to assist me with other responses. I will start with the one which talks to the Senior HR Manager. We have the Senior HR Manager who is on suspension. So when he was suspended, we appointed Ms. Tigelet Mkhona as the acting Senior HR Manager for a period, because it should be less than 12 months, for a period which was less than 12 months, and she stepped down, I think it was sometime this month, around the 15th of October. Unfortunately, I was not at work at that time. We are currently busy with the processes of acting another, of appointing another acting senior HR manager. We will do that by the end of next week. The issue of changing of bank accounts, I'm not aware of it. The last time I was here, we had our monies banked with Absa Bank. I'm not sure if that has changed, but Mr. Manana will assist me with that one. I will go to the next one. As to who requested Rakoma forensic investigation, I think it was done by the then acting CEO, if I'm not mistaken, sometime last year or year before last. But those who were here, including Dr. Manana, will assist me if he knows as to exactly when was Rakoma appointed to do the investigations. And whether any order number was issued for that forensic investigation. I will be assisted by the colleagues who were here before my time, because all of that happened, I think it was the year before last, around 2018, if not 2017. Same with the Zebula trip, which took place in November 2019. And we have the board secretary, the answer is no. We don't have one, and we recently, I think it was around June or July, if I'm not mistaken, where we presented to the board that they approved the structure. We had the position of the board secretary. So we will be advertising that particular position very soon, probably by the end of November. Liz, at head office or for our offices here, not sure whether it was advertised, but it was extended in March this year, that is March 2020, just before I came here as the CEO. The issue of whether we'll be able to attain the clean audit report next financial year, we will do our best to ensure that we achieve that. But that can only be achieved if we have our structure, that is the organogram, and the officials or staff members appointed timely, so that by the start of the next financial year, we have all members or staff members in all positions that are currently vacant. I will request, kindly request the chairperson of the board to assist with me with other questions that were asked, which I cannot at this juncture be able to respond to. Thank you.
Thank Thank you. Insofar as the RACOMA issue is concerned, I know that the RACOMA sort of time period overlapped the Gobodo. Gobodo investigation was completed, and then there were some other issues, and it was before our time, obviously, and before the time of the CEO that we now have, where the acting CEO at that time, there were other issues that was arising, which also related to charges against the CEO implicated in Gobodo. And those, we do not know why there was a separate arrangement, why Gobodo couldn't continue with the investigation, etc. But from what we understood was the investigation was completed and RACOMA was then tasked with certain outstanding issues that transpired after the report was finalized. Insofar as the issue of Zebula is concerned, the Zebula activity related to a Manco meeting, and it was, I think the gist of it is that PanSouth has provincial offices throughout the country, in all provinces, and what had happened was, you know, given the nature of the organization being torn apart more or less, what the purpose was actually to have a joint Manco meeting where everybody would be housed under one institution. And so it was a process that was done, I think, over a few days. I know that the process actually went through the normal SCM channels, etc. And that then was the nature of that event. If I may just comment, I attended that event for just a little while, and on meeting the staff, etc., that was there and participating in that event for a short while, I noted that some of the staff that worked for PanSouth had been in the organization for almost 10 years and hadn't met other people that they actually liaised with. So this was, you know, an event of that nature where it was a joint Manco to actually say now there is a board and this is the direction that we will be following. Insofar as the board secretary position is concerned, the position was previously advertised. I think we went through a process of shortlisting once. And there were candidates that were not suitable. Then I'm speaking from recollection. We then even had a second round where there was an interview process, etc. And unfortunately, people that attended the interview really didn't come up to scratch. They honestly did not understand issues of governance, the places that they were coming from, etc. And that then left us in a position where a position could not be filled. And if I may add that this seems to be a common problem with the position of board secretary. Most people don't even understand the qualifications that are required. And on the issue of the chairperson and his employment in terms of paragraph 12 of our reply, the chairperson at the time, we do know that he was, at the time of his appointment, he was doing editing or some work where he would be writing articles and doing things of that nature. I didn't go into great detail about his job spec, but I know that at the time when we had asked him to step in at PanSouth, he had been offered a position at UWC, where he was going to be submitting for professorship. And that was the angle that he was going. So he had taken a leave of absence to actually try and focus on that. And I recall that before he actually came back to the board and agreed to do it, I know that he had gone to the institution and gotten clearance that he would be excused for that period, because what we had envisaged was that it was October that the process would, you know, he would have to be in the offices for the month of November, 13 days somewhat in December, and then January, and already our advert, et cetera, for CEO was out. It was just a question of us finalizing the appointment. So we had anticipated that by the time the academic year had actually started, he'd be able to return to his position. So that was that detail. I'm sorry, I may not have gotten all the questions down because I had trouble actually hearing the questions. So if perhaps I haven't covered everything, you can remind me. On the issue of the Gobodo report and where we are, with regards to Gobodo, we have completed, I think there is just one employee that is still going through a disciplinary as per Gobodo. The other employee is going through the disciplinary through, I think it's Rakoma. So those are the two remaining issues in terms of the forensic report. With regards to our audit, the audit, the AG's office had requested an extension until the 16th of October in which to finalize the audit. And I know that on the 16th of October, the document was forwarded to the board. The board's audit committee was actually supposed to be meeting to investigate the letter. I know that there are some issues and concerns that have arisen, but it is a process in terms of where we are trying to undo some of the loopholes of the past. And so I don't want to be able to preempt it, but I don't believe that we have attained a clean audit this year. I'm sorry if there's anything else that I may have left out. With regards to the bank account, the bank account remains with APSA. The board has serious concerns with the account being held at APSA, simply because the type of communication that we've been receiving from the bank has not met our satisfaction. For instance, if I may share that, you know, we have requested that the CEO, who was appointed on the 1st of April, be placed onto the banking profile. To date, APSA has been delaying, etc. And we find that, you know, their corporation, we've actually called for a full report from APSA, which they have actually not given us in complete response. And the question that the board must now apply its mind to is if a service provider is not offering the service that we actually require, then why should we continue to remain with them? The board has requested the assistance of Treasury in having to investigate how one would go about moving the account. And, you know, the relationships that seem to have been built with APSA appear to be compromised in some way. And these are the issues that concerns the board, but it is an issue that we are still looking into. We have not made a final decision as yet. Thank you.
Tsinga, you want to talk? Tsinga? Tsinga? Tsinga?
Chairperson?
You want to talk, Chair?
Good job, Chair. Good job, Chair. Malumane has taken the question. She's unable to speak, but she's written in the chat there. So can I table a question, Chair?
Yes.
She's asking that the 5-year target for... Can I speak, Chair?
Yes.
Malumane is asking that the 5-year... She's asking the 5-year target for the percentage vacancy rate against the approved staff complement is 20%. Why is this target so low, and what are the factors influencing the target? Tatum Songo's hand is open.
Okay. Tatum Song. Tatum Song. Tatum Song. Tatum Song.
Apple.
Tatum Song. Hey, Joman.
Chairperson, apology.
Okay.
Apology, Chair. Chair, my question was not answered, Chair. For example, yes, we've received the report, the Koboto report. I wanted to find out, did they implement all the recommendations? How far are they? Can they update us with that? That is the first thing that I wanted to find out, because I've been given a summary, but I need a detail. And regarding the chairperson, I did not hear the detail exactly. Why did he resign? Yes, we understand that he was the chair and the CEO. For now, I need exactly what will happen, or what is happening with Koboto recommendation and the action plan above all. Thanks.
Okay. I've seen Miss Van Dijk is saying that her questions are not answered. Two of his questions, of her questions. Can you repeat those questions, Mrs. Van
Dijk? Thank you, Chairperson. I want clarity on my reference to page 84 on the CFO, whose term has ended on the 30th of September, and she's still appearing on the slideshow. Then I also I didn't get any answers on whether the board received laptops. I asked that we want clarity on the tools of trade, who received it. If we can maybe be furnished with that. And then also the chairperson, if they did receive, does this comply with the PFMA? And if they did receive, the chairperson that has now left, has he gave his equipment back, or can they just give us more information on that also? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any response from our visitors?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. If I can respond on the issue of the CFO, acting CFO, Ms. Duamena. Ms. Duamena acted until the end of...
Is this Mr. Masnana who's speaking?
It's Mpumasang. I'm sorry, Honorable Chairperson.
It's who?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
This is the CFO, the acting CFO, stepped down as the acting CFO at the end of September. And we currently don't have a CFO or anybody acting in that particular position. And we are working on finding somebody who will act whilst we are busy trying to fast track the appointment of the new permanent CFO. We have already advertised the position, and currently we are busy with the processes of shortlisting, and possibly at the beginning of November, we will have interviews for the position of the CFO and the position of executive head for languages. That is as far as the issue of the CFO is concerned. Maybe if I can request the just going through my notes here. The issue of the 5-year target for the filling of positions. Why is the percentage so low? We will look into that. We are noting it. We will look into it. Right now, we are busy with the plans for the next MTF. We'll go back to it and see if we cannot, you know, improve and see if we can increase the number or the percentage that is seen to be very low. It is really concerning. We will review it, and our APP for the next financial year will show an improved percentage that we would like to have as our target. Not sure if there's anything that I haven't responded to, but I will request Mr. Banana to assist with some of the things that I may have left and answered the chairperson of the board. But I think I've responded to it. It was still outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, through you, the chairperson of the portfolio committee. I think the issue of page 84, which was in question in terms of why the acting CFO is still appearing there. I think Dr. Mpongos has covered it very well in terms of, you know, the explanation. But let me just indicate that why is still appearing that in one of my slides not updated. I wouldn't have updated the slides because we're talking about the APP and the startup plan. So, but then maybe what I could have done is just flag and say this is no longer the status. This is what. But I think it's well covered today, the way the CEO has put it in terms of, you know, the letter that we received for her to be released from the duties. So I think it's well covered in that way. I think, yeah. Let me indicate to the members of the portfolio committee, they are indicating the tools of trade. Remember, one thing that perhaps I need to indicate in advance is that we have never actually experienced such a thing in our whole actually existence since. This was for the first time. So in view of our mandate, in view of, you know, our deliverables, what are you going to say? If you say these are your members of structures or these are members of the board and you want to engage them, whether if the minister wants to engage them, how do we facilitate such engagement without any tools of trade? That's where maybe the big question comes. But when immediately we have identified the lack, the tools of trade as a means of, you know, facilitating our engagement, that's when we came up with, you know, this getting the tools of trade for members of structures. But let me indicate that it is only the board members who were actually given such an opportunity. We're still thinking about structure members, which we did not go into that terrain. So it is still a struggle. When you say to a member of a PLC or a member of NLC, I need to engage you virtually, because I don't have any means. So the tools that they have, perhaps is privately owned and whatnot. So we respect that space. And then as for saying, it is a norm that whenever, you know, a tools of trade have been provided, perhaps when a person leaves the entity, would just retain such an instrument. That one, it has been a norm. Unless we need to check, you know, in our specs or in our motivation, how we may keep that in those, you know, requisition of such tools. That's the element that I wanted to bring forth. But then I think everything is still in control in as far as we have noted, you know, the current happenings or the current events that are going on. And then as far as ECO board, I would request that perhaps the board the one that responds to Goboro. Let me indicate why. During the process or when I was acting, I requested that the information relating to Goboro maybe must not be extended to me, because maybe if Goboro is implicating me, I'll be, you know, jeopardizing such an investigation. So I requested that from the board, that please, may you, in terms of this information, please let it not be shared with me. But then I'll ask the board perhaps to indicate, you know, any question that was not answered in as far as the Goboro is concerned. Thank you.
If I may come in once again, Honorable Chairperson, with regard to the tools of trade. The tools of trade that are given to the members of the board, they remain the property of PANSAT. They remain the property of PANSAT. When the member leaves as a member of PANSAT, they will have to bring back those tools of trade. Dr. Manana, you will assist me here, because when the chairperson or former chairperson resigned, I was not here. If you can assist me in terms of whether the tools of trade that were given to him were returned to the institution. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Like I'm saying, the facilitation of getting the tools back will be done in according. Remember, we have just received, I think it was a week or a week ago, when we received the letter that the chairperson has resigned. So we are following our normal processes through supply chain, that how do we get the tools back. You know, I don't think it will be a problem to get, you know, the tools of trade back to the institution. Thank you.
Chairperson, Honorable Father. Chairperson, can I speak? Is Chairperson, I don't know what the last presenter was now saying on the answer, by saying that through supply chain management, we'll see how to get it back. Supply chain management is to actually acquire stuff. It's got nothing to do with getting back tools of trade. So I don't know what he was saying, to be quite honest. And then just a follow-up question, if I may, Chairperson, which was touched on now, and I don't think it was fully answered, was on the position of the CFO. I would like to know who is going to be the accountable person, and will the CEO take all the accountability, as the CFO is not been appointed yet? Thanks, Chair.
Another question.
Thanks, Jefferson.
Yes.
My apologies, I think I joined the meeting late. I've listened to the presentation of our visitors, and I want to appreciate that. But I want to request them to go at length with regard to the development of the sign language. What is the process and how far are they? I just saw a snippet where they are reporting about the sign language. Secondly, the development of indigenous language. They've given us an example that there will be an examination written in Sikosa somewhere. I just want for them to elaborate further. How far are they with other languages, other indigenous languages being used in schools to an extent of using this indigenous languages to write an examination. If they can go at length and elaborate on the tool and where there's a need for assistance by Parliament, if there's a need to develop a policy or an act of Parliament, they guide us that we have a full understanding of where they are in terms of sign language and indigenous languages. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I'm also going to ask about the issue of Imagana. Everything there is in English, but even the Imagana, it was the chief and it was a Xhosa chief, but everything is in English. Can you take care of interpret and make it that the Xhosa speaking there, they must know that history of Imagana, if you can take care of that. Honorable Siabe, honorable members, by 12:30, I must be released. I'm thanking members that for this week, 2 weeks, I must be on and off until I'm becoming 100% fine. So my apologies. By 12:30, I must. This is my day that I must revisit the doctor after my 7th day. Thank you.
Chairperson, from my side and from the DA side, we wish you well on your recovery. And thank you for being so strong through this, Don Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Baba.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mshongo.
Chair, my question was not answered regarding COVID.
Yes,
I don't know whether they can give. Technically, they are excusing themselves. There's no, for them to get a machine audit, they must make sure they implement all the recommendations. And how far are they? Another question that I wanted to find out. PFMA does not allow them to have tools of trade for board members. Board members must buy for themselves the tools of trade, unless they will differ with me, Chair.
Honorable Malumana, Honorable Mshongo, can you elect a chairperson to chair the session?
I think the Honorable CIV. Get well, our mother. Honorable CIV, where are you? Last time we were chaired by Honorable Farr, but today I believe that we will get chaired by Honorable CIV. Hello?
Yes, Honorable Mama Bolo.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, our visitors, I was trying not to disrespect you. I was supposed not to be in the meeting, but sometimes you do want to respect the members that they know there is a chair. So,
Mama Wood.
Aranzo plays a Mamamande.
Kuzani, Bantana Bekos. Go on with the meeting. Oh, Mama Wool, I'm strong to Lele, Nito Sonagaza. Same song.
Thanks, Chairperson. And we want to wish you the best and a speedy recovery. Can we give to consult to respond? I see a hand of PD. I don't know who's this one. PD.
Thank you.
If you're from, okay.
Thank you. It's the Deputy Chair, Dabadeen.
Okay.
I want to just address once more, I had anticipated that I had answered the question of Gobodo, and my answer was that there was one employee still undergoing the disciplinary in terms of Gobodo, and in our written submission we had said that on completion of the disciplinary process, the board must then take a decision on what closeout procedure it will have to follow in terms of Gobodo. So that is the submission insofar as Gobodo is concerned. With regards to the statement that the PFMA does not allow the board to have access to tools of trade, I'm going to ask the Honourable Member to perhaps share with us the relevant sections so that perhaps we may consider it and apply our minds to that, because the idea across the board in almost every board that I have served in has been that they will provide me with tools of trade. For instance, you know, previously we used our own data. Now with COVID, we were stuck to have to use our own data. I mean, we never had virtual meetings before. So that's a considerable amount of data, et cetera. And with due respect, you know, if one has to look at the stipends that board members are actually paid, I wonder how anybody would actually be able to serve as a board member without their tools of trade. You know, there's presentations, et cetera, that need to be done. And especially, you know, we are particularly concerned about our NLUs, where we are, as our Mr. Manana referred, you know, in our meetings with them, we had to be surprised that they are made to fund their own data, et cetera, and their tools of trade. And how does one expect an organization to actually reach the next level? So I will be very appreciative if we can be guided on that issue. We would sincerely appreciate that. Insofar as the return of the chairperson's tools of trade is concerned, it is correct that he has resigned, I think, on the 7th or so of October. The board received the notification thereafter. As it stands, we haven't received official notification from the department as yet. That obviously is a process that will follow due course. And once it has, the board will most certainly make a request to the chairperson to return his tools of trade. I don't see that as being a problem. Thank you. And to the Honourable Chairperson, you take with us, with you, Pansel's best wishes for your speedy recovery. We sincerely apologize that you're having to address us at a time when you are not well, but we appreciate the fact that you have taken cognizance of the importance of meeting as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deputy Chairperson, for that response. With regards to the issue of the CFO, who is going to take full responsibility during this time where the post is vacant, I will take, as a CEO, take full responsibility. I think by the end of next week, we will have identified the person who will act as the CFO of PANSAG. So I will take that full responsibility together with the finance team, because we do have the manager finance and the deputy manager finance who was the acting CFO. So we will be working as a team to ensure that the work that was done by the CFO, we do it quite effectively. And by the end of next week, we shall have the person who will be acting by then. The development of the sign language, where is the process? Right now, there is a process that is ongoing. The process of officialization of the sign language, we are busy with it, and we are very hopeful that it will be finalized quite soon. It's the work that is done also through Parliament. So we are very hopeful that maybe early next year that process shall have been finalized and we will have the sign language as one of the official languages of our country. The development of indigenous languages so that our kids are able to write exams in their indigenous languages, that is one area where we have to sit down, and processes have already started, where we are consulting the Department of Basic Education, because it's an issue of language in education policy. Those are some of the things that we will thrash out with the Department of Basic Education. We know that the Department of Basic Education in the Eastern Cape, they have already started working on that process, where kids will be examined in indigenous languages. So we will also be looking into that quite closely to see how effective that is. Then the issue that was raised by the Honorable Chairperson of everything in Makama in English, we will be liaising with our provincial office in the Eastern Cape to ensure that they take this up, to ensure that whatever information that is there is not only available in English, but it is available in official languages that are there in the Eastern Cape. So we'll take this and refer it to our Eastern Cape provincial office. I think the deputy chairperson covered me with regards to the Koboto report implementation. Thank you, chairperson.
Thanks very much. CEO, my apologies, man. Can I, since you were appointed, we never met, can we just see your face? So that we know our CEO. Okay, okay. Thanks very much. Thanks very much. It's good that we must relate to our CEO. I don't want to pass you by when I meet you in ShopRite and you think I don't take you serious. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I see the hand of the deputy chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you. Just to add to what the CEO was saying, perhaps when he was still on sick leave, Mr. Manana and I actually tried to contact National Treasury to assist us with this issue of CFO. So, and we've also been to the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture to try and get assistance on the issue of CFO. So we are, you know, trying to get assistance wherever we can so that we can resolve this issue. We are very concerned as well. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much. I don't know whether honorables still have questions to be addressed by Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have just one question. I want to know, the chairperson or deputy chairperson mentioned that the tools of trade will be returned or are returned to the entity when the term ends of the board and also the executives. So what happens with this and why was it then needed for new equipment? That is part of my question. And the other thing is it is also put to us that it is sort of for COVID that these iPads were ordered or, yeah. But to my, according to my sources, this was already procured before COVID happened, before the 23rd when the president made the statement that we're now in a disaster state. So it, apparently it doesn't seem that it was for COVID. If they can just clear that for me, and what also what happened with the previous of all the other tools of trade that was returned, where does that go?
Disposal policy? Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, it is correct that the issue for board members was not strictly for COVID. Across almost every board, there is a software that board members receive their board pack on. So the cost-benefit exercise that one has to do is you've got 13 board members located in 13 different provinces. So you would then have to print a board pack for 13 board members, courier it, photocopy it, send it out to various board members. So because bear in mind that board members that will now have no laptop, maybe they've got a PC in their office, they now will have to arrive at themselves offices with a board pack. Would they then actually be in a position to participate in a meeting when they don't have an equipment? Now, they may have a PC installed in their offices, but how do they communicate this in Pretoria when they arrive for a board meeting? Board members at PanSouth, you know, they receive emails almost every day. Now, they are employed at their institution. Is their employer now expected to subsidize PanSouth? These are the questions and the debates that one has had to engage on. And that would then form the basis why across the board it becomes a more cost-benefit issue when one has to simply load documents onto a board pack. And all board members are then able to open it up on their iPad and are able to carry it along with them to whatever institution. There will be naturally disposal policies that the chair has just mentioned. There will have to be a policy as to how that is dealt with. But bearing in mind that board members received their they were appointed in March of 2019. And this issue of board members using their data, et cetera, we reached a point where some board members said, we cannot afford to subsidize PanSouth any longer in terms of data, et cetera, because, I mean, it is an expensive item. So where does one stop and call the line? So in terms of that, you know, board members actually only received their iPads and tools of trade during COVID, despite the fact that they were appointed in April of last year, March, April of last year, they only received it during COVID. So there were issues in terms of, you know, whistleblowers suggesting that board members were trying to enrich themselves. Many board members have tools of trade of their own, and then some board members don't. So why should board members be compelled to use their own personal tools of trade or use that of their employers? You know, these are the kinds of questions that it would be fruitful to engage in. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Deputy Chairperson. My understanding is that honorable members are not necessarily against their board members being given tools of trade, for as long as it is done within the policy framework and the laws of the country. At the same time, we expect the board to make sure that board members are effective when they discharge their responsibilities. So any means of making board members to be effective in discharging their responsibilities is welcome, as long as it is done within the legal framework and policies of the organization. I don't think we can expect anybody to subsidize an organization. Board members are bringing their skills, their time, and therefore they should not be inconvenienced further. But what honorable members are saying is this thing must be within a policy so that in future you are not compromised. Must be within the legal framework, must be within the policy prescriptions of the organization. For example, Honorable Van Dijk asked a question about the disposal policy. So you must have the disposal policy. You must have a policy that when we have given a board member, if you give me if you give me the tools of trade today and I leave the organization by tomorrow, what will happen? If you give me the tools of trade today and I spend 2 years, 4 years with the organization, what would happen? Those are the things that must be clear to all and sundry. I think that's what honorable members are worried about. I don't think they're saying don't give board members tools of trade. We expect you to be effective. Are there still further interactions with the presentation? We don't necessarily need to drag the meeting up to 13 hours. If we are happy, we're done. We can also do away with the meeting. Any other thing, honorable members? I don't see hands. Are you content?
Chairperson?
Honorable.
Chairperson, can we give them the response time because you've clear, in fact, you summarized our request. Do they have those policies or are they planning to have those policies? You know, I think they must respond. Okay. And then I'm fine if they respond. Let them respond. I think you'll sum up what we wanted. It seems like they don't have it, and how did they do it? And they must have an action plan after that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Keep it, Chairperson.
Thank you. Board members on delivery of their documents were asked to sign. So there is a document in place to that effect.
Okay. Yes.
The disposal policies, one of the policies that we have developed, we are finalizing those policies. We may share with the portfolio committee that particular policy if the members so wish once we have approved it. It's amongst the policies that we are busy reviewing right now, and we are going to finalize that quite soon. Thank you.
Okay. I think just make sure that the board members are on board. Honorable members are on board with regard to your policies so that as they do oversight, remember, as honorable members, there will always be worried or concerns about abuse of resources and so on and so on. So whatever framework, whether legislative or policy-wise you have, please share it with the portfolio committee through the secretariat so that board members at their own time can be able to go through such policies. Where you don't have a policy, you are still in the process, indicate as such, so that we are able to, as portfolio committee members, as the portfolio committee, we are able to track progress with regard to such. I think Honorable Mutongo, they're saying they're still developing it, some of the policies, and the policies that are available, they are committing that they'll submit them to the committee through the secretariat. Any other thing? Otherwise, I'm moving towards closing the meeting. Honorable members, you are happy. If honorable members are happy, I'm happy. Deputy Chairperson, can I give you a chance to do your parting words? Otherwise, we're about to close the meeting.
Thank you very much, sir, for giving us this opportunity. It's been a fruitful engagement. We trust that we are shedding some light as to where PenSouth is going. We ask that you assist us and point us in the right direction. We rely on you. And this is a journey that we will have to travel together. And we're looking forward to it. And again, our sincere gratitude to the chair for accommodating, and also you for taking over and assisting us as best you can. Farewell.
Thanks very much. And thanks very much for coming to our meeting as invited. Let's keep the working relationship. The honorable members of the committee are doing oversight and they would like to see things going well. We are not necessarily policing you, but we are making sure that what you said you will do, you are really doing. The resources allocated to you, taxpayers' money, is used efficiently and effectively. And once members of the committee are satisfied with that, then there won't be any problem. But in future, when you are invited, please respond as you did today. I think honorable members are happy. It's rare that we finish the meeting more than an hour before the allocated time. Once you see this happening, it means honorable members, to an extent, are satisfied with what you are doing and the responses you have given them. Having said that, let's all of us wish the chairperson of the portfolio committee well. Let us wish her a speedy recovery. And to all honorable members and our visitors from PenSouth and our staff, support staff, I want to wish you the best of the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. I know it is Friday today. Enjoy your weekend. Honorable Faba, you must enjoy your weekend. Honorable Mtongo, enjoy your weekend. And Mama Bulo, Maluman, and the rest, please enjoy your weekend. The meeting stand adjourned.
Enjoy, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair. I hope we are covered there in the department.
Enjoy your weekend too.